He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On Sunday, I proposed that Holy Week is our opportunity to slow the story down and to watch. I reached out toward Jesus' disciples and pondered with you how they might have felt. Their great grief and the love at the bottom of it all. And I proposed that love is watching someone die. I only barely hinted at what that means for all of us, in part because we needed to hear about Jesus' inexhaustible love at Maundy Thursday first. But now it is time. It is time to consider the question, what is good about any of this? What is good about Good Friday? The cross has been a central symbol of Christianity. Jesus' crucifixion, the defining part of our favorite story from the beginning. On the face of it, this makes no sense. Given what we have felt in the grief of Jesus' friends, the horror of that day, their wide-eyed terror and numb disbelief as they watched their beloved die, broken and tortured on the cross. Given all of that, it would seem to make no sense to call Good Friday good. The cross was, after all, not just an instrument of some quick and easy death. It was a torture device. And that's all you probably need to know about it, really. It was a torture device. I don't think you need me to go into the details. You don't need to watch Hollywood depictions. You only need to read the faces of his friends as they watched, drawn and pale at the sight of a butchered loved one. The cross is an instrument of torture and execution, which the Romans, please note that, the Romans, not the Jews, had perfected. And we hang it casually around our necks, plated in gold. Why would we do such a thing? We sing praises to the cross, and even later in this service, we have the opportunity to come and venerate the cross. Why? Is this some sort of morbid joke? Why do we cling to this story? What might we be missing? And frankly, here we enter into a great mystery together, and I am trying to choose my words well. There is a part of me that wants to just sit down and stop talking, to take refuge in silence. Because this mystery is almost too great. But then again, it is also too great not to say something. So I will do my best. It is a traditional and popular notion that on the cross, Jesus saves us from our sins. That our sins accrue in some sort of debit account. And that while we are in the red, which is apparently all of us, we are destined for hell or some such. And Jesus dies on the cross because in his innocence, his merit is so great that it covers all these debts. We are magically in the black and destined for glory. I don't like this version. It's too neat and too external. I don't think Jesus came just to save souls, but also to heal our broken hearts. In this version, the cross becomes just one big transaction, and one has to wonder whether it can possibly be the case that the torture and execution of Jesus is the required payment in that transaction. I don't think so. And in part, that's because I don't think that kind of ledger is all that I'm guilty of, or all that is broken in the world. I feel more like Peter of Damascus, who said, "I regard myself as unworthy of heaven and earth and as deserving of every punishment, not simply because of the sins I've committed, but much more because of the blessings I have received without my showing any gratitude. For thou, Lord, who dost transcend all goodness, has filled my soul with every blessing. I dimly perceive thy works, and my mind is amazed." There is something more in the cross than a simple transaction. And anyway, what sense would Jesus' last commandment have made, that we love one another as he loved us to the end? What sort of sense would such a view of the cross make of that? Neither is it the case that the cross is true only because of the violence and gore of Jesus' execution. It was violent, it was undoubtedly gory, but that's not the point either, really. We do not lift high the cross because of what it was, but because of what God made of it. The cross does not hold power for us because of what it did to Jesus, but because of what Jesus did to it. We do not venerate the cross because it wrecked Christ, but because Christ wrecked it, reforged it, and made it a sign of its opposite. Christians have always heard the message of the cross in Isaiah's prophecy for tonight. "Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed." The key here is not the affliction, but its effect. By his bruises we are healed. As I said, this is a great mystery, and I keep trying to understand it. It's why I love the doctors and the saints of the church. They help me. Dame Julian of Norwich is well known for the words she heard in a vision: "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." I imagine many of you have heard these words. But these words came to her as she was meditating on her vision of Christ's passion. They are not blithe and cheery. They are not simply rose-colored optimism. In her vision, Jesus says, "It is so that sin is the cause of all this pain, but all shall be well. And all shall be well. And all manner of things shall be well." And he speaks this in the midst of his passion. As Julian says, there is a tenderness in this. There is no blame. The forgiving of sin is only the beginning of the cross's power. We venerate the cross because through it, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well, because Jesus' death broke something in the foundations. The sun was blackened, the temple curtain torn. Behold, I am doing a new thing, says our God. Do you not perceive it? In her vision, considering Jesus' passion, Julian asks about her current sufferings and those of the church, and Jesus says, I shall make of this a great thing in heaven, a thing of everlasting worth and endless joy. He wants us to know, Julian says, that all of this will be changed into glory and profit through his passion. To know, moreover, that we do not suffer on our own, but with him. To see in him the ground of our being, to recognize that his suffering so far surpasses anything we might experience, that we shall never wholly understand it. And maybe with the help of Julian, we are now in a position to begin to see what makes Good Friday good. Good Friday is good because we know something the first disciples did not yet know. The story isn't over, it's just beginning. From the cross, Jesus says, "It is finished." Because without that ending, there can be no new start. The old story is done. The story where despair wins, the story where death wins, is done. The new one is just opening. For freedom, Christ has freed us, Paul says. For freedom from our sins, yes, but also from our hard hearts, from our pettiness and carelessness, from our indifference. Our grief is good because it draws us to the cross. At the cross, we cannot be indifferent. But Jesus takes that grief and hangs it with our sin, with our broken hearts, with our stubborn wills on the cross. On the cross, Christ frees us not just from these things, but more importantly, frees us for new life. In Christ's compassion, we are set free for compassion. And that is good. But there's still more. The most important thing yet to say: he was despised and rejected, a man of suffering and acquainted with grief, acquainted with your grief and with mine. The drama that is playing out before us is not just the wiping away of sin. It's not even just the transforming of our hearts. The drama that is playing out before us is the undoing of death. The undoing of despair and degradation. The undoing of everything that keeps us from our God. Good Friday is the great undoing. And it is good because God entered our frail flesh, shared our human pains, and knows them. Good Friday is good because God knows your hurting heart. Good Friday is good because by entering into the suffering and death, God could break it. Good Friday is good because there is now no night too dark, no pain too sharp, no despair too thick, no step too far, no grave too deep, that God's love cannot find you. In fact, God's love is waiting for you there. The compassion of Christ is waiting for you in the cross. having loved his own in the world, he loved them to the end, and meets them, loves them, embraces them in his own death, so that holding them fast, they may yet rise with him and know joy. Amen.